and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. It's Elon Musk's last day with Doge.
President Donald Trump on social media posted, "Musk will always be with us, helping all the way."
That's CBS's Jared Hill. This afternoon, Musk will join the president for a joint press conference in the Oval Office. On social media last night, President Trump called on the Supreme Court to take up the tariffs case a week after back and forth by lower courts. Senior White House trade advisor Peter Navarro.
The Trump tariff agenda is alive, well, healthy, and will be implemented.
Google is back in federal court today for closing arguments in a big tech antitrust case. CBS's Christopher Cruz.
The Justice Department will ask the court to order an end to Google's lucrative deals with Apple and force the company to sell its Chrome browser. It says the company's dominant search engine is an illegal monopoly.
Google lawyers are expected to say only minor concessions are needed. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Summer is here, which means more grilling, backyard campfires, and burning brush. Joanne Krulatz shares important information.
UW Health Adult Trauma Dr. Patrick Sheehan offers up some tips on how to prevent fire-related injuries.
Keeping an eye towards the safety of any source of heat or open flame, just making sure that the area doesn't have unnecessary bottles of fuel, canisters of gas, loose leaf litter, or other flammable objects, not using anything that is not specifically labeled as a fire starter to start a fire. The use of gasoline, diesel fuel, any other sort of flammable accelerant is extremely dangerous and probably one of the most common reasons that people end up coming under our care. Keeping the area clear of tripping hazards, anything else that could make the area dangerous. We end up having to take care of a lot of people who accidentally trip and fall into an open flame. And that's often because a chair leg is sticking in the way or a cooler is in the way. If it's at all possible, having a water source such as a garden hose or a bucket of water, or if there is a fire extinguisher around, just knowing where it is and that it's within easy grabbing distance if needed.
Sheehan says if you do experience a burn, don't hesitate to reach out to a local care provider to find out what treatment is needed.
The Portage County Historical Society would like to help you preserve your personal past with a special workshop series. They'll hold the workshops one evening per month to give you practical tools to organize, care for, and share your personal history. There is a cost for these workshops, which begin in June and continue until September. You can find out more at pchswi.org. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Badgers Hall of Fame. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The University of Wisconsin announcing 12 new inductees into the Badgers Athletic Hall of Fame, including NFL running back James White, announcer Matt LaPay, and basketball player Frank Kaminsky, who led the Badgers to back-to-back appearances in the Final Four.
You know, my 4 years here, I just really wanted to maximize my opportunity. You know, I felt really lucky to be able to have a scholarship to come here in the first place because I wasn't highly recruited. I mean, it's just like you get overcome with this like emotion that you can't really describe. Like, I love here. I love Wisconsin. I love the school. I love being back on campus.
NFL Packers OTA practices continue in Green Bay. The team adding another receiver to the roster, Sam Brown Jr. from the Miami Hurricanes. Baseball, Brewers open a three-game series on the road tonight against the Phillies after a much-needed day off yesterday. Trevor McGill.
Workload's been a lot, and it's just kind of what we needed to do to keep the wins going. So, yeah, it's out there for the boys.
That's Brewers pitcher Trevor McGill with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Partly sunny skies today with scattered showers and thunderstorms developing in the afternoon. High temperatures in the upper 70s. Showers and a few thunderstorms tapering off in the early evening, then clearing skies with low temps in the upper 40s. Right now, it's 51.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Representative Mark Pocan will be here to talk about the House budget and things hidden inside. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, Civic Media's political editor in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Pleasant good morning to you. Welcome to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow across the Civic Media Radio Network. I am not Pat Kreitlow. I'm Todd Allball. Glad to have you along. Filling in the host chair, keeping it warm for Patrick. He'll be back on Monday, taking a well-deserved day off today to be with family for a graduation. So look forward to hearing about his travels on Monday. I'm along with producer and engineer Parker Olson here at the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison. Mr. Bach joins us as well from the Racine Park Studios down in beautiful Racine, Wisconsin. Gentlemen, how are you this morning?
We're doing well.
Don't speak for me. You don't know how I'm doing. Wow. I'm doing well, Greg. How are you?
I'm also doing well. Thank you for asking.
Coming up a little bit later this hour, have our round table this morning with a couple of great journalists and talking about the headlines of the day. And in just a minute, Brittany Merlot will join us with a complete weather forecast. Temperatures around the state of Wisconsin right now range from 61 in Superior down to 55 degrees in Milwaukee, 54 over in La Crosse, 52 in Green Bay right now. More on the weather with Brittany Merlot. Weather quality air advisory out for today with those wildfires from Canada. So we'll have a little bit more on that in just a moment. Speaking of headlines this morning, the weather is the top headline. The Canadian provinces of Manitoba and Saskatchewan have declared states of emergency due to a series of wildfires. The blazes, which began on Monday in Saskatchewan, have rapidly increased in size, prompting the evacuation of more than 18,000 people. Israel has accepted a new ceasefire proposal with Hamas from U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff, which includes the release of 10 living hostages and 18 deceased hostages, as well as a 60-day truce. Although Hamas, in the latest framework, doesn't meet their demands entirely, the militant group offered some counterpoints and said they will continue on. A federal appeals court yesterday paused the Court of International Trade's ruling that President Donald Trump doesn't have the authority to impose sweeping tariffs using the emergency powers he declared earlier this year. The ruling by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit means Trump can continue to impose tariffs using emergency powers and adds to the confusion and uncertainty about the future of his economic policy. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem posted on X this week that an undocumented migrant from Mexico had been arrested for allegedly sending a letter threatening to kill President Trump. However, upon further review, it appears that the immigrant, Ramon Morales Reyes, was set up. Federal officials who asked for a handwriting sample for Reyes also determined that his handwriting and the threatening letter did not match his own. Those are the headlines this morning. One more for you. A far-right political activist with a history of anti-gay rhetoric and promoting conspiracy theories about former President Barack Obama said he was sacked after only a month on the job following a CNN investigation. He was the Kennedy Center executive. So more on those stories throughout the day. But right now at 9 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock, taking a look, what should we do here? A couple of sports scores for you. How about that, by the way, as well? We talked about it a little bit in hour number one, but the Pacers could have wrapped it up last night in game five, but they played their worst offensive game of the postseason last night and lost to the New York Knicks 111-94. Our very own James Kelly up there in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls dancing a jig because he's a New Yorker, a Long Islander. His Knicks survive. But despite missing the chance to close out the series, the star for the Pacers, Tyrese Haliburton, emphasized there was, quote, no need to panic. The Pacers still lead the series 3-2. Game six is on Saturday night in Indianapolis. The Brewers had the night off, but they will be taking on the Philadelphia 76ers. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be great if the Brewers played the 76ers?
I think that would go well.
It was the only way that would make basketball exciting to me.
Yeah. No. They'll play the Philadelphia Phillies tonight. Game time, the first pitch around 5:45 tonight, Central Time. You can hear it across several of our stations on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're giving you a chance today on free Friday ticket giveaway, Big Shingding Lollapalooza, which is a statewide contest, by the way. The marketing people will love that. We're giving away four tickets to the Milwaukee Brewers throughout the day. They have chances to win four tickets throughout the day. You can have your first chance during our show until 9 o'clock. Go to the Civic Media app. Download it for free if you don't have it. Go to any of the first 11 stations, click on the word text, then you're all set to go and text us right now the word crew. The word is crew, C-R-E-W, as in brew crew.
This is because spelling is crucial.
Oh, nicely done, Greg Bach. Yes, because the computer picks this randomly and it only accepts exact correct entries. So, yeah. And by the way, this is for the game next Saturday, June 7th, against San Diego at 6:35. You cannot exchange them for a different game. So please make sure you go to that game next Saturday against San Diego. The word is crew, C-R-E-W. Text it right now to the Civic Media app. I'm sorry. And these allergies. I mean, it's terrible. I'm sorry.
Yes. I'm sorry you're feeling poopy.
Poopy, yeah. That's one thing to call it, yeah.
Well, that too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see here. Should we do today in history, national days? Because this is very, very exciting. We should bring on Brittany Rouleau for this, because I always like to talk to Brittany, our civic media meteorologist. Brittany, how the heck are you?
I'm pretty good. How the heck are you?
Better if it weren't for the allergies, but otherwise I'm doing fine. We're going to do weather here in a second, but I'm very excited about this because it's May 30th, and we've gone over some of the also Mel Blanc's birthday. Remember him?
Nope. The great. Mm-hmm.
No, I do not.
Hey, Parker, do you know Bugs Bunny?
Elmer yes. Fudd?
Oh my God! Wait,
Daffy Duck.
Oh,
Porky Pig.
Okay.
Porky Pig.
I do know them.
Yeah. He did all of those.
All those voices. All the Looney Tunes characters and Merry Melodies cartoons. He died back in 1989, but it was Mel Blanc was born on this day. Benny Goodman, the musician and band leader nicknamed the King of Swing, also was born on this day as well. But let's get to national days because there's some good ones here. It is National Creativity Day today. So if you're a creative person, this day is for you. I don't know. Crochet something. I don't know. Paint something.
Macrame.
Macrame. Sure. I don't know. Whatever.
You were talking about this yesterday at Matt and Aaron Air with decoupage.
Oh, decoupage. I like that. All right. So it's National Creative Day. And now Parker's a recent UW-Whitewater graduate in the comms program broadcasting. It's Loomis Day. Remember who Loomis is, Parker?
Oh, I definitely should, shouldn't
to
I?
To pass or fail. Do you remember? I recognize Melholm Loomis as the person who received the patent for wireless telegraphy, receiving the U.S. patent number. I'm not going to read the number. It was titled An Improvement in Telegraphing on Wireless Telegraphy in 1872. He beat Marconi's United Kingdom patent by nearly 25 years, but Marconi gets all the credits.
I didn't know either of those guys. They weren't at Whitewater.
We learned that at Platteville.
I feel like then people are like, and Alexander Graham Bell stole from Marconi, and and Brittany's like, can I just tell you about the weather?
I don't know. It's mint julep day today. I'm not a big mint julep guy, but have yourself a mint julep. But here's what I want to get to. This is fantastic. This is real. Each year on May 30th, it is National Hole in My Bucket Day. It is celebrated by a wacky holiday in honor of the fun children's song, There's a Hole in My Bucket. I remember this watching Sesame Street. Who says PBS doesn't create great things? Here it is from Sesame Street.
You're having such a good time with this, Tom.
Do we have a Muppet that sounds like Johnny Cash?
This is like a 4-minute bit. And so it was the old farmer. He has a hole in the bucket. And the wife is sitting there. And the husband's a dope. And he's like, there's a hole. And she's like, well, fix it there. Well, what shall I fix it? With a stick, dear. And it keeps going and going. And finally, she's like, just fix it, dear Henry. Just fix it, dear Henry. They have a National Hole in the Bucket Day. Today is National Hole. I'm very excited by this.
You're very excited about this.
More animated than I thought you'd be about it.
Absolutely. So there you go. All right. Brittany Merlot, we're going to need a bucket of something to get through this muck in the air today. Give us the lowdown. There is some seriousness to those that have asthma and whatnot. There is smoke in the air.
Yes, there is. That wildfire smoke from Canada has made its way down to the state. That's why it's hazy. It kind of looks cloudy in some places. It's not cloudy out. It is actually clear. So if you can't see the sunshine, that is the wildfire smoke this morning. It is really thick out there right now. It'll actually start to get a little bit better as we go through the afternoon, and then a little bit worse again tonight before it starts to clear out. It should be gone by tomorrow afternoon. But of course, it's from that northwest breeze. A little breezy throughout the day today, gusts around 20 to 25 miles per hour. And like Todd said, it is unhealthy for sensitive groups. So in that case, you might want to wear a mask, stay inside, have an air purifier running, something like that to help with those symptoms. But otherwise today, it's about 45 degrees in Janesville. It's 61 degrees into Ashland. And we are looking at scattered shower chances later on this afternoon. Very light showers. But then after 5 o'clock, we're looking at chances of some spotty storms. I think those are going to stay northwest, kind of hang into the Fox Valley, and then move in towards Milwaukee and Madison area. But these are a backdoor cold front. So what that means is the cold front's actually dropping down from the north, headed south. So these storms are going to be rolling in from the north, headed south, and we could see some gusty winds and small hail with them. But otherwise, tomorrow, hey, we're still looking at tons of sunshine today and tomorrow, both rising into the mid to upper 70s. We'll do the same, pretty much the same thing on Sunday. And then Monday, oh, we're going to get it so muggy and warm. Dew points are going to go into the 70s with temperatures in the mid 80s. Even some spots could hit 90, so Monday is going to be a sweaty one.
My grandma used to call that kind of weather sultry. It's sultry out.
Yes.
She used to say that. Yeah.
This weather's like Kathleen Turner in the 80s. It's sultry.
But the storms might help move some of this, that's not really smog, I know, but some of this smoke out of the air. Is that good for the smoke?
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely will. And then as that cold front moves through and down to the south, it should start to clear that out of here. So this is all good stuff for the smoke. Just the clear skies and nothing happening and the heat starting to build today is really making it much thicker. So once that front moves through, should be gone and out of here.
All right, Parker, I'm not going to be here on Monday. Pat will be back. But when you introduce, I want Brittany's music on Monday for her bumper music to be, the heat is on, the heat is on.
Yeah!
Yeah. Robin Tigerton, we have his weather report here. That was,
Hold on.
All right.
There we go.
Here we go. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Cloudy in 56. I saw the red sun earlier this morning. I got a mowing job near Eldron, located on the Shawano and Marathon County line, a job that he was supposed to do yesterday got rained out. So there you go. All right, very good. I've been to Eldron and Tigerton when I go up to see the folks up in Shawano. So hope Rob can get the lawn mowed today. But wear a mask, Rob, and celebrate. It's a hole in the bucket day. All right, thank you, Brittany. Appreciate you. We'll see you later. Have a great weekend. Come on back with our round table and celebrate. There's a hole in my bucket day. We're back after this.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Mornings on WFHR.
Nutella just announced its first new U.S. flavor in 61 years. The new flavor is peanut.
I can just see the boardroom, right, when they were doing this thing.
Oh, gentlemen, we have cornered the market on hazelnut and chocolate. We need something new.
Sir, how about we do peanuts?
Are you telling me you want to do something like peanut butter? That sounds revolutionary.
Brilliant!
Weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, all. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. Welcoming into the studio, our good friend, UW Extension's Olga Menza is with us. Olga, it's good to see you.
Same here. Yeah, thank you for having us.
Feels like it's been a while. It's great to have you in studio and to be able to talk. Yes. We appreciate so much our friends at Extension and all the good work that you guys are doing in our communities. And if you don't mind, I'd like to kind of rewind a little bit to kick things off. It's been a little while. You recently completed some programs that we wanted to highlight. Can we start there?
Yeah, definitely. So I completed the Tools to Thrive programming at the Marshfield High School. So usually it's like an 8-week session. So I did that through the winter from January to May. Mm. And since kids were like off break in March, we kind of gave them a couple weeks off there. So that's why it took like, you know, longer to complete it. And I actually had five of my students who are seniors. Four of them graduated last weekend.
Oh, congrats to them. Yeah, that's so awesome.
Four out of five. Yeah. And there was one student in particular that... he was like so close to like giving up already at the beginning of the year. He's like, you know, he needed money and stuff financially, so he needed to help his family and couldn't finish it, and he thought he needed like another year to finish. So I helped him like you know, look at his credits and how we can help him finish on time and that way he didn't have to, you know, repeat a whole another semester. And so once we got it all figured out, and I was so happy to see him graduate.
Congrats to you,
yeah,
too.
That
feels good for you, I imagine,
it
too.
Sure
I can
does,
hear
yes.
it. And yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Can you,
accomplishment.
Don't mean to bog down too much in it, but as far as the program goes, what kind of things were you working with the kids about?
Yeah, so the Tools to Thrive program, usually we talk about like college career readiness. Mm-hmm. Since these are high schoolers, we want to help them to thrive through high school and graduate. And then if they have, motivation to going to college, a technical college or university, how I can, be there to give them those resources and tools to make sure that, maybe this is like their first generation of attending university. So how to break those cycles and, give them that support. But also because there is a language barrier and these students are having a hard time with the school system itself because mm-hmm. it's different than, the original country. So then I also focus on that too as well. So we talk about the school system, how it works here and the credits that are needed to graduate and why it's important to always make sure that if you're a freshman, let's make sure you have all those credits that you need during that year.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully by senior year, you have, least credits that
yeah.
need to graduate.
It's so great to that these individuals have some assistance, some help through this process.
Yes,
and this is something, part of the reason that makes me feel good about mm-hmm. this and everything is the fact that we have this now. We didn't always have things like this. Mm-hmm. And by that, I don't just mean like in the last 5, 10, 15 years. And for certain students that I think a lot of people are imagining in their head or whatever, I'm talking about your grandparents, everybody. I'm talking about mm-hmm. my grandparents,
yeah.
my dad's side, my Italian side of mm-hmm. my family when they first came here didn't speak very good English.
Yeah.
We had a very difficult time in school mm-hmm. and most of the kids would drop out of school because it was just, well, yeah. why I'm not going to accomplish anything here. I'm just going to mm-hmm. go get a job in the factory or something
yes.
like that. This has been a part of our country for a very, very mm-hmm. long time. There didn't used to be programs for my grandparents or your mm-hmm. grandparents out there mm-hmm. or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's really revolutionary because I know that some people, this can be opinionated sometimes, mm-hmm. which I don't understand, but well, okay. But I bet one thing that we all care, mm-hmm. Your taxes, the economy, mm-hmm. these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just look at Olga's situation. Like, this is something that's going around our whole country.
Yes.
And there's great programs going around mm-hmm. the whole country helping with this. But just looking at our area and zooming mm-hmm. in right here, and you mentioned 4 out of 5 there. It's
uh-huh.
4 individuals that go on to go to school, that mm-hmm. get good jobs, that put mm-hmm. into the community, whether it's with volunteering or their tax dollars or anything mm-hmm. like that. Like, that's what America is built on. That is literally the foundation of our
yeah.
country, is those
yeah.
kind of things happening, that process, mm-hmm. and you helped with that.
Yeah,
that's a big part of that.
Yeah, I think I can relate to the students because I'm also first generation immigrant, a daughter of immigrant parents. So my parents also have a language barrier and we didn't have those, that support how you mentioned.
Yeah.
So as soon as I, got hired for the job, I knew exactly how to help them, how to assist them, how to support them, because those are the things that we're going through as well.
You can relate on a level
yeah.
that not many can,
mm-hmm.
and that reaches especially young people
yeah.
so
yeah.
much better and so much easier, where it's not just somebody reading something from mm-hmm. a manual. Nothing against that, and
yeah.
not to say that you have to have that to be good at the job or anything,
mm-hmm.
but boy, does it go an extra
yeah.
length when you really can. You know what you're talking about, basically.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the school focuses a lot on mental health as well. So they want us to bring topics about mental health. And so I did, did a lot of the behavioral health.
Mm-hmm.
So, how to work with your emotions and in a positive way and anger management and stuff like that. So that was also really important. And to see that now not most of the kids have a mental health issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of frustration because of the lack of language, the barriers that they have, and not understanding in classroom, and they're just put in with the other rest of the kids and they're by themselves trying to figure out. So I did find out as well that in Marshfield School District, they have only one ESL teacher covering
mm-hmm.
the mm-hmm. high school and the middle school.
Yeah.
And so that could be really tough for her as well.
Yeah.
And so when I come in and I provide the Tools to Thrive support, we can see like the difference in the students' behavior as well. They get like really excited because they can speak their language. And I always try to adapt the curriculum with something that is, you know, culturally appropriate. And, you know, sometimes we add music, we make it fun.
So. It, which is again helps the information stick when it's brought to presented that way and people are able to take it in that way.
Yeah,
that's really cool. And you're not done because Olga, I noticed that you've been in touch recently with Rams, just a couple of blocks from us over here here in Rapids. Mm-hmm. How's that going?
It's going pretty good.
You were just listening to the Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of the Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
You've been working and working, trying everything imaginable to establish a yard. No success. Have you thought about the seed? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. It is not an easy feat, and the first one that will admit it, Doug Soldat. He's our University Extension turfgrass specialist, and he gets questions from one end of the state to the other on how to establish that lawn. He said one thing he advises people early on, take a look at the seed you purchased and make sure it's good quality.
Yeah, grass seed, that's probably one of the most important things you can do is buy good grass seed. And it takes a little bit of looking at the labels and understanding what you're buying, because the marketing stuff on the front of the bags, like Sunny Spot, Shady's Place, that's okay, but you really want to look at the labels. The best grass varieties and species for Wisconsin are Kentucky Bluegrass and Fine Fescue. And Fine Fescue, there's actually a collection of them. Red Fescue, Hard Fescue, Chewing's Fescue. Fescue, sheep fescue, they're all about the same and pretty good. And when I'm buying a grass seed mixture, I'm looking for a combination of Kentucky bluegrass and those fine fescues.
And for those of you that have an established lawn, Doug Soldat's got some advice on maintaining that lawn. He says, make sure your lawnmower blades are sharp. He said, if a blade's dull, it tears the leaf and can actually allow weeds to grow.
With Clarifly Larvicide, you get more than just a fly control product. You get more support, more expertise, and more control to prevent the emergence of nuisance flies from the manure of treated cattle by as much as 96%. It is perfectly blended in your mineral supplement to become a part of what you are already doing, feeding your cattle. Get control of flies with a comprehensive program built around Clarifly Larvicide and Sarbar products. To learn more about Clarifly Larvicide, contact your local feed dealer or visit centralflycontrol.com.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
And if you've got a little patch of paradise you're willing to share, the Wisconsin DNR wants to talk to you. Right now, they're looking for landowners to host hunters with disabilities for the Gun Deer Hunt for Hunters with Disabilities, October 4th through the 12th. You have to be able to host at least three hunters, and you need to complete an online application by July 1st. Yes, of course. We've got details up now. MidwestFarmReport.com or go to the Wisconsin DNR website and get that application process started. Just a quick update on what's happening in food news for a Friday. I'm Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Partly sunny skies today with scattered showers and thunderstorms developing in the afternoon. High temperatures in the upper 70s. Showers and a few thunderstorms tapering off in the early evening, then clearing skies with low temps in the upper 40s. Right now, it's 51.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, it's film incentive advocate Rex Sykes, Civic Media sports director Jimmy Cuska, and even though we are Terry Barless, it's still Bar Band Friday night. We'll be joined by Rocker. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. I am Todd Allball, filling in the guest host chair. Pat will be back on Monday. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 35 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. Temperature is in the 70s today. There is a poor air quality alert out for the entire state of Wisconsin due to the Canadian wildfires and the smoke coming down. But showers and thunderstorms throughout the later afternoon and into tonight will clear that out. Pretty nice weekend ahead. And then Brittany Merlot says muggy. Sultry starting on Monday. Summer is arriving right on time, as they say. Right now, we continue on with our weekly roundtable. James Santel, who is the host, of course, of Amicus, a law review on Saturday mornings here at Civic Media, has the week off, but we are very pleased to have with us today Chicago journalist Jennifer Schulze, formerly worked for ABC7 and WGN-TV in Chicago, and now at The Contrarian and Lincoln Square, and Mark Jacob, longtime journalist for both the Chicago Tribune and Chicago Sun-Times. Guys, let's go to your favorite, Barbara Walters. Remember, she never said the most important person of the year. She always said the most fascinating person of the year. So what's your most fascinating headline of the week, Mark Jacob?
I would say it's RFK Jr. and Trump releasing that study on children's health, which made a lot of false assertions and, surprise, surprise, included fake studies. You know, they're linked to studies that were never written, had real scientists attributed to stuff. And they, when the news media contacted them, they said, no, I didn't do anything like that. And then Caroline Leavitt, the official liar in the White House, that's her job to lie. She was asked about it, and she said, well, there were formatting issues, but everything's fine otherwise. There were so now lies are now called formatting issues. And it's just as far as critiquing the media on that story, the Associated Press headline just said there were problems with the studies. They used the word problems, buzzing the whole issue instead of using the perfectly accurate term fake studies, because there were fake studies.
And also, Wisconsin's very own Mark Pocan in Congress in a hearing, maybe you guys talked about this last week, but got RFK Jr. to say, well, you know, you really should listen to me when it comes to medical advice.
Yeah, right.
I mean, really?
The guy's head of HHS. He's the top health official in the entire country. And he says, don't take advice from me. This is crazy town, Todd. This is insanity. And it's insanity about public health. It's not about some stupid subject. It's about public health.
Yeah. Jennifer.
You know, Donald Trump was sitting right next to RFK Jr. when they released that report. And they together said it was the most important health study on children in America in history. So both Trump and RFK Jr. have staked their very feeble, I would argue, reputations on this. And they're sticking with that story even today. The Washington Post has a story this morning that says they've been able to determine that most of the study was written with AI. And I mean, just that and the way that the Trump administration is pushing AI ought to be worrisome to all of us. But Mark's right. That story was also, I thought, really interesting in that it came from a smaller news outlet with younger reporters, something called Notus, N-O-T-U-S. They broke this story, which is really based on shoe leather reporting. You know, here's this report. It's got all these citations and all these quotes, and it's the greatest thing ever on kids' health. Two reporters, two, I can't find anybody else that did this, decided, where's that stuff come from? And it's incredible because that's what journalism is supposed to be about. Not just being megaphones for whatever Trump or RFK say, but digging into the details. And what we found out, as Mark said, it's all fake. All of it is fake.
Absolutely incredible. And Mark, to your earlier point in the last segment about the cuts that Trump is making and continues to try to make through this budget reconciliation bill, people's lives are going to be lost. And to this point with RFK Jr., what is this thing now with COVID vaccines only for those 65 years of, older, not for pregnant women? Again, I think one of the most tragic parts of a lot of tragedies is we're messing with people's lives here.
Right. That's a troublesome new decision by the federal government to not give the COVID shot to pregnant women, because that's the only way there's going to be any protection for newborn babies. And the fact is that the two groups that are most likely to be hospitalized when they get COVID are old people and newborn babies. They're too young to get the shot when they get born, but you know, giving it to pregnant women could offer some protection, it's believed. So I mean, there's just not a lot of science about it, you know, mm-hmm. Todd. And when they released the study, Eric K. Jr. said, well, you know, this is the worst. This generation is the sickest generation of children in American history. And I went back and looked at it. In 1800, 46% of children didn't make it to age five. You know, in 1900, 24% didn't make it to age five. You know what the figure is now? It's under 1%. So what is he talking about? I mean, it's just pulling stuff out of their, regions. It's very weird what they're doing. And they just think that it sounds good. And the New York Times repeated that, you know, the sickest generation in U.S. history. And I called them out on social media, and they actually changed their headline. The New York Times didn't, and took that out because it was a lie.
Nicely done, Mark. Nicely done. I was remiss earlier. You can also find Mark. He is the author of Stop the Presses newsletter. So check that out as well. Jennifer, what is your most intriguing, fascinating headline of the week?
Well, I agree with Mark that the stuff about the health report is really staggering. I'm also struck this week by the Elon Musk exit interviews. This guy, the New York Times has a great story this morning about his drug use throughout his time in the White House. And it's pretty extreme, illegal drug use. He was handed the keys to our government and has done untold amount of damage. And too many news organizations in the last week fell for his rewriting of history or his glossing over of his damage, the damage that he's done. And we have all these puff pieces about, you know, disillusioned, determined, and, you know, painting this picture of this, well, I tried my best and, you know, gosh, maybe it didn't work out, with really, it was like a PR tour that Musk took, and the press fell for it. With the evidence in front of all of our eyes every single day for the last 4 or 5 months, I'm still gobsmacked about that. I can't get over it.
I know there's, I think it's coming out this Sunday, if I'm correct. David Pogue interviewed Musk for a CBS Sunday Morning, and I saw the clip where Musk says, well, you can have a big bill or a beautiful bill, but you can't have a big, beautiful bill. And seemed to kind of counter Trump a little bit in saying he wasn't really on board for this reconciliation bill.
Yeah, he's pointing to the deficit, which the funny thing is you got all this blowback from the White House after he said that, in which they said there is no deficit in the bill, which is a complete 100% lie.
Yeah.
You know, I've actually started one, my most recent Stop the Press newsletter. I've decided to start calling blatant lies Lutniks, because Howard Lutnick is really the most outrageous liar in the cabinet. So
I like that.
So Caroline Leavitt was telling Lutniks yesterday, and Mike Johnson was too. They were telling a Lutnick about the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, whose projections are usually quite reliable. And they're saying, oh, no, they're totally out there. It's some sort of leftist organization, supposedly, even though the guy who's head of it was named by Bush. You know, so it's they don't want to accept reality. And they voted. So they're voting for deficit spending. You know, this whole thing about the Republicans don't like to tax and spend. Well, they sure like the spend part of it.
And Jennifer, even Wisconsin's own U.S. Senator Ron Johnson is calling Trump out, exactly what Mark just said, maybe for the wrong reasons, in my opinion. But he's not. He's saying, you know, it doesn't go far enough in some of these cuts. But, you know, saying that, you know, it does increase the deficit.
Well, yes. And so it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with this bill when it makes it over to the Senate. They've already been making, and Johnson's not alone, they've been making a lot of noise about their concerns. So we'll see how concerned they really are. I want to add one more thing about Musk and Trump. Mm-hmm. The White House just announced that Musk and Trump are having a joint press conference this afternoon.
Oh, really? Oh.
So that will be very interesting to see. I'm actually less interested in what they say, but how reporters question them and with follow-up questions and what kind of fact-checking we'll have. Because the two of them together, there won't be a truthful word that comes out of their mouths. And the press really knows how to get to the bottom of things. Let's see if they do that.
Maybe we'll have another edition of Hee Haw's Junior Samples come on down by a new used Tesla here on the car lot of the White House. Well, BR549. Anyway, it's an old reference for those of us old enough to remember Hee Haw. It's 45 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. We're talking with Jennifer Schulze and also Mark Jacob at our weekly roundtable here. Pat Kreitlow is back on Monday. Guys, I wanted to get your take as people have worked in major markets in Chicago, longtime journalists. I'm just fascinated by this. My first station I worked at was a CBS affiliate in radio affiliate in Richland Center. I grew up, my parents watched Walter Cronkite and those things. The fact that CBS This Morning on Tuesday didn't cover anything of the craziness that Trump said over the weekend, the disrespect he showed veterans by not really memorializing them at all, partisanizing the speech at Arlington National Cemetery. What do you make of this, Mark, then Jennifer?
Well, I'm not sure. It's difficult to decide, you know, whether the editorial decisions are affected by the greater picture and corporate pressure. So, you know, unless you can prove it up, it's just hard to speculate about it. But it must be said that CBS is under incredible pressure these days. They, you know, because you know, their parent company, Paramount, wants to cut a deal for a merger with Skydance, and the Trump administration corruptly is holding that up until CBS supposedly is going to settle this lawsuit, this bogus lawsuit he's brought, complaining that an interview of Kamala Harris somehow damaged his brand. And it's a lawsuit that should be thrown out of court immediately. Definitely, there's no way he would win in a real, you know, trial. Right. But CBS thinks is being extorted. In effect, they're being told, you know, you've got to settle this. And they also, Trump wants an apology for them doing good journalism.
And Jennifer, ABC, Disney already settled.
I know. Yeah, corporate ownership of big media products is a problem. And CBS, I mean, I can't imagine a scenario where they don't pay him a bribe. And I think that it's most certainly had a chilling effect on the reporting throughout the company. We already know that 60 Minutes had minders, you know, brought in to make sure that their content wasn't, you know, tiptoeing too close to somebody's line, apparently Trump's. I don't doubt that throughout their other products, that they're, you know, they're being cautious, probably overly cautious about some things.
We're out of time. We can't talk about it. But did you guys see the Scott Pelley graduation speech at Wake Forest this weekend?
It was great.
If people haven't, check it out. Google Scott Pelley, Wake Forest. I'd never seen him like that. I thought it was incredible. Really, really brave. Brave as well is Mark Jacob. You can find him. He is the author at Stop the Presses newsletter. And also equally brave is Jennifer Schulze. You can find her work at The Contrarian and Lincoln Square, amongst others. We appreciate you both so very much. Pat will be back next week, so you don't have to put up with me. But thanks for being here. We appreciate you both.
Thank you, Todd.
All right.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back on the other side. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. I'm Todd Allball across the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2024 Nielsen report.
At Tri-City Services, we're so proud to be celebrating 80 years of trusted service to Central Wisconsin. Since 1945, Tri-City has been the name you can trust to stay warm in the winter and cool in the summer. We're offering a limited-time anniversary special. When you purchase a new air conditioner, you'll get $19.45 off a new furnace. Call 715-423-5840 today or visit calltricity.com to schedule your free quote.
We're not comfortable until you are.
The Trump administration has announced tariffs on trade with other countries. While there has been a lot of uncertainty as to how these policies will evolve, it's generally agreed that tariffs can be inflationary, and they have also sparked volatility in the financial markets. How should you respond to tariffs as an investor? Try to build and maintain a diversified portfolio. Tariffs will likely hit some industries harder than others, so consider spreading your dollars among an array of stocks, bonds, and other securities. Diversification cannot guarantee a profit or protect against a loss, but at any given time, some asset classes may be up or not hit as hard as others. Finally, follow a long-term strategy based on your risk tolerance, time horizon, and financial goals. You'll be better equipped to cope with market gyrations that can result from tariffs or from any other event.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Janelle, now that we're kind of understand a little bit more of the importance, the purpose, what it can do and everything, I want to get into the idea of making compost, the compost materials and everything, because that's the other part of this that I thought was interesting. And I just wanted to pull up on the Wisconsin Rapid City website. I know that they, spring compost update they have over there, if you want to check that out, everybody, because we were talking a little bit in our pregame, this word compost, composting, some of these things have just been, I've been hearing so much about it in the last couple of weeks. And the other part of the end of this was hearing people say, well, I can make my own compost, or I'd like to make my own compost and some of that. So it's kind of cool to see this topic where it is right now, where it's not uncommon to hear people talking about these things and the importance of them. So as far as making your own compost and getting into the materials of it, what do you got for us there?
Yeah. So composting is not difficult. It really, really isn't. So one of the things to keep in mind is the greater the variety of things that you're adding to your compost, the greater the different types of microorganisms are that will be participating in the processing down your broccoli ends or your leftover leaves into a nice, rich material that will be high in nutrients that the plants will be able to utilize easily. So when you're composting, you want to have a ratio of three parts browned materials or carbon-rich materials to one part green. And the greens are going to be high in nitrogen, okay? So you'll either hear, you know, brown materials to green materials, or you'll hear carbon materials to nitrogen materials, okay? So how do you know which is which? Well, the way I kind of think about it is anything that's fresh and juicy, those are going to be higher in a nitrogen content. And so those are going to be things that we're going to keep in that green category, okay? Those are the things like I mentioned, you know, your vegetable leftovers from, and when I say leftovers, I mean the debris, the stuff that you're using inside the kitchen before you cook, okay? Mm-hmm. We'll get to things that have been cooked in a minute, but here I'm talking about just kind of that leftover vegetable pieces that you're not cooking, that type of stuff. You can't always rely on color, though. If you're thinking about adding coffee grounds to your compost pile, which is a super cool idea, keep in mind, even though they're brown, they're high in nitrogen. Okay?
I was wondering.
Yeah, so really kind of rely on, is it juicy or is it dry, right? If it's dry, it's probably going to be something that's rich in carbon. And so those carbon-rich materials are going to be things like shredded newspaper. It could be dried leaves from last year. In fact, that's one of my favorite things to do is I save a couple garbage bags of dry leaves from the previous fall. I keep them next to my compost bin.
That's a great idea.
And then as I'm adding green materials, I'll add some brown, you know, I'll add my leaves as a brown material. If you don't have leaves, though, shredded newspaper would work just fine for you. Something else to keep in mind is things that are of animal origin tend to be higher in nitrogen. So that, and this kind of gets back to not necessarily has to be green in color. This could be things like if you're adding manure, and it needs to be an herbivore manure, okay? No omnivore manures, right? But if you've got chickens or rabbits and you want to add their manure to your compost bin, go right ahead. Blood meal, feathers, all of that type of stuff would be considered greens, okay?
What about drier type materials, like woodier materials and stuff?
Yeah, all of those are going to be higher in the carbon content. So those would be the things that you would be thinking about those as your browns.
You mentioned coffee grounds earlier, and I know for me and my mom, when we were first getting into this topic, it feels like in the 80s or something, that was one of the first things that I feel like was brought up. I don't know if it actually came from a reputable source. It just felt like one of those things like, oh, yeah, that's something you can use for composting. So I really appreciate you bringing that one up in particular. But are there others that we should be precautious about?
Yeah. So in this category, I think of this category as the we want to think about it.
I want that as a title. Next time you're putting notes together. Yes.
First one, cardboard and corn cobs. You know, so some real recent research has come out, and my opinions on cardboard are a little bit more reserved. They used to recommend using cardboard, but the idea here, and with corn cobs, the idea here is you just need to really cut them down quite a bit if you use them in large pieces. If you use the cardboard in large pieces or the corn cobs whole, they're going to take forever and a day to decompose, right?
Okay.
So you want to chop that stuff up. However, I did recently read a journal article that talked about the presence of PFAS in cardboard. And so here I have a little bit more hesitation in using cardboard and any sort of gardening capacity where it becomes broken down in the soil. So also as a weed barrier inside the garden too. I used to like the idea of like a thin cardboard, like cereal boxes. I've used those in the past in my raised beds. They worked fantastic, broke mm-hmm. down nicely. I have some reservations now. The literature, just the research hasn't gotten far enough to say, yes. you know, hey, this is going to make an impact in your soil or not. But there was a suggestion that it may. And so on now, I would say, you know, maybe we could use something besides cardboard.
The whole point of this is to help and to help the earth, help your garden, all these things. Anything that can mess with that, I don't think it's even worth really taking the risk. Just my opinion, just my thought on it and everything. But I also want to note that I see where people are going with this, and I love the heart of it. I got all this cardboard. I got all these Amazon boxes or whatever. What do I do with them and stuff? And I want to do some good. I want to do something good with it, which is where a lot of this stems from. I'm sorry, I don't know this off the top of my head, but maybe where composting began is the idea of, hey, I've got all this extra stuff. Instead of just throwing it away, what can I do good with it? How can I repurpose it? So much of this stems from that. So I think that's really cool that people want to do that with these things.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Elon Musk ends his run with Doge today and admits he hasn't always seen eye to eye with the administration, telling CBS Sunday Morning.
I don't want to, you know, speak up against the administration, but I don't want to. I also don't want to take responsibility for everything the administration is doing.
Musk will join President Trump in the Oval Office this afternoon for a joint news conference. The Department of Homeland Security has published a list of hundreds of cities, counties, and states it designates as sanctuary jurisdictions. CBS's Christopher Cruz tells us.
The targeted communities generally don't cooperate with immigration agents. They say not cooperating makes migrants feel safer coming forward if they're a witness to or victim of a crime.
Last year's runner-up is this year's winner at the Scripps National Spelling Bee.
Hey, Claire C. Small.
E-C-13-year-old Faison Zaki from Texas came back from a late-stage flub to take home the winning prize of $50,000. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.